I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, trends, data, and reopening.
Today, I'm extending the stay-at-home order until May the 8th. It is important to get our economy moving, and we are helping with unemployment insurance payments, stimulus money, and many businesses that are continuing to be open. But I will not risk the health of our people or our hospitals. And easing these restrictions now would do that.
At the same time Governor Roy Cooper announced the extension of his stay-at-home order, he laid out a plan to reopen the state, based on his three stated areas of trends, testing, and tracing. But in short, we're not there yet, says Mandy Cohen. She's Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services.
And in fact, today is one of the second highest days of reported new cases that we have seen.
Cooper's plan would ease restrictions in three phases, and North Carolina would need to hit benchmarks before each phase was enacted. In very simple terms, Cooper said he will be guided by the data and the facts. He wants to see decreases or sustained leveling in four trends, twice as many tests conducted per day, and twice as many people who can trace cases, and a larger supply of N95 masks and gowns. There's some optimism that these things can happen, but Cooper also warned that the phases could go in reverse if trends go the wrong way. In other words, he's asking for more patience.
If we keep protecting ourselves and go back to work and play carefully, we can rebuild the damage that this virus has done to our state. North Carolinians are tough. We've been through trying times, and I know that we will tap that resiliency to look out for each other, encourage each other, and support each other as we beat this virus, and we will beat this virus.
The eventual reopening of North Carolina's economy may provide a proverbial light at the end of a distant tunnel for workers who have been the subject of mass layoffs. The state's system to process unemployment claims has been infamously overwhelmed with the volume of applications. It's not uncommon to hear stories of people being kicked off the state's website or losing a phone connection. But whether or not those workers have gotten benefits, they're still faced with the question of what to do in the meantime, in both their professional and personal lives. WUNC's Jeff Tiberi spoke with producer Will Michaels about how those workers are getting by, how the state is trying to help, and just how many people have lost their jobs.
It's staggering, and it's wholly staggering. There have been approximately 5 years worth of unemployment claims in 6 weeks. So as we have this conversation, the most up-to-date information is through April 21st. And between March 15th and April 21st, more than 705,000 people filed for unemployment across the state. That's almost 14% of the labor force. We know that 606,000 of them noted or cited COVID-19 as the reason for their newfound unemployment, though I would only note briefly that that number is probably low for the COVID-related unemployment claims, because the non-COVID-related unemployment claims were about 100,000 over the past 6 weeks. And that's generally a time period during which the state would see about a fifth as many unemployment claims. North Carolina was seeing about 3,000 unemployment claims a week, and it has just skyrocketed. We know that a lot of people in the service industry, of course, have been affected, but this pandemic knows no boundaries, right? I mean, this has affected so many different people in various industries. It's just been a huge, huge, unprecedented increase. To answer the other portion of the question, how has the state responded, there was objectively no way for them to have been prepared for a moment like this. So they have hired hundreds and hundreds of workers in response to try to handle all of the calls that are coming in, all of the busyness on the website. And at the same time, due to some of the massive relief bills that have come out of Congress, the state is also, because unemployment is it's a hybrid federal-state system, the state is also learning and understanding how to get federal unemployment benefits out to people who weren't previously eligible under North Carolina regulations. So, you know, from the conversations I've had, I think the state is doing the best it can. It's putting a good foot forward, but this has obviously bottlenecked and been very slow and very frustrating for a lot of people who have been seeking help.
Yeah. Well, and you talked to some of those people, right, who have either been furloughed or lost their jobs entirely. What are some of the things that have stood out to you when speaking with those workers?
I think they've all expressed, you know, a real concern, both personally, how they're going to pay the rent or the mortgage, buy groceries, and meet the monthly demands of the various bills. But there's also a longer term concern about when their various industries get back up and running, how the pandemic will reshape those industries for months, if realistically not years to come. And there's also been certainly some underlying frustration with, hey, I just lost my job and I don't have that much money saved. And I think I'm eligible for unemployment benefits, but wait, I'm not sure. And I can't get through. I can't talk to anybody. Jake Vincent, who was his tech worker in Raleigh, was laid off back in early March. He got a little bit of severance. He has a little bit of savings and he's looking toward the future, but ultimately unsure about, you know, the timing, as we all are, of when things will perhaps get back to a new normal for him.
I guess I would say I'm most worried about like how long it's going to take for me to find to be employed again in the industry that, you know, I am familiar with and that I have experience in. I'm trying to figure out what to do. Like if I should find a job temporarily, like even if it's something as simple as like landscaping or a grocery store or something, you know, for a couple months until things get back to normal.
What he said to me was that ultimately he can exist in this kind of odd normal for a couple of months, but after that, he's going to have to find some short-term work.
Who else did you talk to?
I've also spoken with people who are self-employed and freelance workers, as well as some small business owners. And one of the small business owners is a woman by the name of Katie Button. She is a chef. She's been a finalist three times for the James Beard Award. And she operates up in Asheville. She's called Asheville home for a long time, and she has three business partners, her parents and her husband. It's truly a family business. And they have a popular tapas restaurant in downtown Asheville. They also have a bagel spot, and they have an event space that they've been putting funding into over the last year or so. And when I spoke to her, she talked about the second weekend in March, which I imagine for a lot of us feels like it was about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And as she described it, she said, you know, in the course of just a couple of days, it felt like the whole world changed.
First, the meeting was just the four owners. You know, then we brought in our HR manager and our accountant. And I remember they were the first people that we told. And I remember telling, because we needed them to help us work through some numbers and some things. And I remember telling them and it dawning on us what we were going to have to do. And I just started crying. It was like, couldn't control it. It was just this feeling of knowing that I was going to be reaching out to our entire staff, letting them know that we weren't going to be opening the restaurants the next day.
I think there are less than 100,000 people that live in Asheville proper. And she talked about the need for good and frequent and generous tourism to support so much of the economic infrastructure up there. And these closures, the businesses shuttering for the time being, just gave her deep concern about what it means for her in her industry and her community.
The jobs report for March is due out next week. It's going to be a bad report, but I mean, how bad do you think it's going to be?
You know, it's a good question, and it's an instructive. The question and the subsequent answer is instructive to an extent. But the report will only be through through the end of March. And we've seen, you know, six figures, an additional six figures of unemployment benefit requests in the month of April. So it's that's just to say this report's going to lag behind some. And I would expect that the unemployment rate in North Carolina, according to that report, will jump from 4% to maybe 8 or 8.5%. But in reality, it's more than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might be looking at 12 to 13% unemployment in the state, or even more than that. I mean, this is a fluid situation. And the numbers, unfortunately, are continuing to increase. Now, of course, the unemployment curve, if you will, could shift once there is a reopening of some extent to restaurants and businesses, I mean, all the various industries across the state. At the same time, you know, as you've talked about, as you've wondered about, what's the implication going to be for consumer habits here? Are people really going to go out and spend money in the same kinds of ways, in the same kinds of places that they were doing a couple of months ago? And that's a major unknown here, and has a lot of people stressed out.
Jeff Tiberi is WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief. He spoke with producer Will Michaels. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer of the podcast. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.